Grant, I'm a writer, product developer, and I have lots of product concepts, but the trouble is I live in Nigeria. I have no clue how I can get these ideas licensed in the USA, Britain, and other countries successfully while still living in my country. How can I do this?
Great question. The answer is you can do it from anywhere in the world in this day and age. The internet is a wonderful tool for this. If you have written scripts or plays or characters, you've developed products, and you're prepared to sell them, you can get them copyrighted, trademarked, and patented in the United States and other countries around the world right from where you are in Nigeria. It doesn't require a physical presence in this market, both to secure the intellectual property rights as well as to license it. You can do it right from where you are. You can license it here in the U.S. Now, what you would have to do in that case is once you have your ideas copyrighted, trademarked, or patented, you obviously have to have them developed and demonstrate the value or the marketability. And you can do that. Again, you can use the online tools to get them into the U.S. market. You can post them on websites. You could sell them on test markets through limited offerings on the website. Any number of tools that you can use to build value here in the U.S. And that's really what you want to do. And it's not only the U.S., but it could be Britain, it could be Europe, it could be Asia, any other countries. There's many licensing programs that I've worked on that emanated from outside the United States, and we never had any physical contact with one another. In this day and age, and I mentioned this earlier before, Skype is all you really need. Skype video calls will do the trick. Okay, on this day and age, you have 3D virtual product development technology. You can create 3D images of your products. You can create online books. You can do interactive books. There's many, many tools that now exist online for inventors and creators can use that do not require them to have any physical proximity or even travel to the different countries if they're looking to license and secure rights there. That's one of the most effective tools that's offered by the internet. So if you live outside the United States, you're a little unsure about the process, how to get licensing done, how to get trademarks, copyrights, again, I encourage you to purchase my Introduction to Licensing and or Licensing Mastery audio programs. They're going to take you through all of what you need to do to both prepare for licensing in the U.S. as well as execute a licensing strategy. And the other thing to keep in mind, inside both of these programs are licensing agreements written in English, but the components of these licensing agreements are applicable to any country in the world. You'll find that licensing is something that operates pretty much around the world in the same way, based on the same types of contracts. So once you have examples of U.S. contracts or English contracts, I've worked on many deals using these contracts that have been translated into other languages, both in Europe and Asia, with the same parts of the contract in there. The only thing you're really changing is anything that's related to local law or country law in the particular countries, and also what the terms are. And in the case of licensing, you may be in Nigeria and you're looking to license in the U.S. You have some other things that you want to think about, whether you're going to be licensing it through a U.S. company or you want to license it directly out of Nigeria. I mean, and again, from a business formation standpoint, when you think about your intellectual property, these are things, again, you can do online. You don't need physical presence in the United States. You could form a corporation, an LLC, in the United States to hold the intellectual property rights and then be, if you will, the licensing conduit to the licensees in the United States.
Can, like, one from Nigeria create a corporation in the United States?
You can create corporations outside your home country. Now, in some cases, there's obviously an expense involved, and depending on the tax laws of the particular country, you'll have to take that into account, too, as well, in terms of the formation. But you can do it.
Rand, I'm writing a book relating to law and professional standards for a very specific aspect of law. There is a gap in the market here. Is there an IP issue here? It's not a specific product that I own as such, but an approach to a particular subject area. I don't obviously know much about IP, but would appreciate any pointers.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, any time that you create a book, obviously the creation of the book, you own the copyright to the book. Now, within the book, of course, you may be citing previously developed or written resources or references. But many times, you know, in professional books, technical journals, things like that, the authors have compiled the information into a certain format or have used the information to present a different way in which a process, procedure, or system can be used. And again, it may be using previously copyrighted materials that's cited as a reference, but it's compiled together within that particular book and it falls under copyright of the author who, in fact, created that book. It's not so much that there's an IP issue. I think that what you would create is a new intellectual property, obviously, the book that you have created, as long as you make sure that if you are using any previously copyrighted information or materials from other sources, that they're properly cited as references within your book. But overall, that book would become your intellectual property. It would be your copyright. And so I think from that standpoint, I don't know that there would be much else that you would need to address other than the fact that if you wanted to register the book for a copyright through the U.S. Copyright Office.
Rand, I have a methodology on how to use an outdoor experience to build character and develop leadership. What are some of the steps I need to take that and convert it into a profit center?
Great question, and there's a key word, methodology. A methodology is part of business know-how. You have developed a methodology which has probably systems and procedures in it that you use focused on an outdoor experience. So you've developed this methodology, and depending on what these experiences are, there's a certain way in which these are all put together. That's called a system, a process, procedure, and you've probably got some written materials to go along with it. But basically what it's focused on is character and developing leadership. So you have established an intellectual property. Now, if you want to take and convert that, what you really have an opportunity to do is if you've used this methodology over and over again over the course of years and been able to successfully sell it into client organizations, maybe their business organization, individuals, generate a profit and have good results from it, then you have a methodology that would be licensable. And again, I talk about this in business process licensing, is the way you convert this into a profit center is now you can license this methodology for other organizations to use. Again, it may be leadership development organizations, organizational development organizations, companies that are looking for ways to expand what services, what information services they can offer their clients. Perhaps there are companies that have been focused totally on the internal side of developing leadership, and now they're really looking for an external experience, an outdoor experience to add to that. So what you can bring to them now is you can offer them a more enhanced or a broader product line. And again, what you would do as the know-how owner, as the methodology owner, is you have to create it into what's called an IP package. So you have to take the methodology and you're going to have to document it, you know, in writing, and you're going to have to put all of these components together in some kind of package that can be transferred. Because part of know-how is understanding that the know-how may have certain processes, procedures, systems. You may have some of these documented. Some of these you may just do out of your head or your mind or whatever. All of this needs to get documented and put it into a tangible format that can then be offered under a license package, and it's through this documentation that you transfer the methodology know-how. Okay, that's how the process works. And what you will do then is put together know-how agreements, licensing agreements, along with NDAs, non-disclosures, confidentiality, and non-competes that complete your package. And from there, then, you need to develop your licensing plan, target who the right organizations are, and come up with a strategy and a marketing program to go out now and start licensing your methodology to other potential licensees who can use this to generate revenue. And then from there, your profit center then becomes one based on royalties that are paid by those companies that have licensed your methodology. And again, in business process licensing, I talk about the different ways you can structure the royalties, and those profits would come in the form of fixed payments or a percentage of whatever is sold or revenues that are generated under that methodology. You're going to have some listeners, as I said, who are going to be startups and would be interested in learning how to do this business process listening. That's where I've developed the business process licensing audio program. It's a great introductory program to get you situated in understanding of exactly what business process licensing is. It's really an effective program. If you're a startup and you're a knowledge-based startup and you're going to be delivering a process, a methodology, a system, whether it's real estate, sales, marketing, whatever it is, developing from the get-go, looking at it from an intellectual property can be an incredible time saver for you, because first of all, it's going to allow you to really be thinking about the development of your information as an intellectual property. And when you start to think about it that way, it's going to teach you how to formulate it, if you will, and document it in such a way that you will be ready to go and will be ready to license it at a point in time when you've really taken it out, created some market value for it, had some customers behind it, and put you in a position to really be ready to license it out. And, you know, as I say to anybody in every business out there, whether it's knowledge-based or product business, licensing and intellectual property should always be a core part of your business strategy. And certainly if you're a knowledge-based business, business process licensing should be a core part of your strategy. So I encourage any listener out there who is interested in business process licensing, has some know-how, to take a look at the business process licensing audio program. It really will get you a fast start in getting you prepared to license out your know-how technology.
Rand, we're contemplating licensing using our name, logo, and marketing methods. We have a unique business model providing a professional service in a coffee house. Any ideas?
That's an interesting concept. So you want to use the coffee house as kind of a gathering place, which becomes more of a retail concept, I think. And I think that you're finding more and more a gathering. You know, you have the internet cafes, I think, are kind of an offshoot for this. So I think as you look at what you're going to do there in terms of providing professional services in a coffee house, I think what you really need to do is define, you know, is this going to be a retail establishment that's going to be a coffee house providing these professional services? What's the name of it? So you're going to have the trademark and copyright issue there, or you're going to get a trademark and copyright. And then from there, if you're looking from the licensing model of this, if you're going to create a situation where you have a retail location, such as a coffee house, is delivering the professional services, you're probably going to be looking at a franchise kind of situation as opposed to a pure licensing, unless you're looking to license just the service component of it to go into coffee houses who are looking for ways to further expand their services, which is a possibility, by the way. This is a strategy that you could use to get you away from the franchising, where you can go to coffee houses in which they continue to operate under their current, whatever name they are, you know, XYZ coffee house, but now you're giving them the process, if you will, the procedures, if you will, for offering these professional services as part of the offering within their coffee house. So that's really two options that you've got for you in terms of that IP idea.
Now, would you say, though, that if it's a franchise like a Starbucks, a franchise is going to be limited by what they can take in, right? These would be individual operators, maybe not under a franchise agreement?
Yeah, the franchise would be a pure startup, so it's going to be a lot more complex and expensive for you to operate that. The other version of it is when you go into the coffee house where there are current operators, they may be single operators or multiple operators. What your other option is considering licensing them your proven model for these professional services. In other words, the professional services have to show that it's really attracted customers into the coffee house, that it adds what's called incremental revenue, and it's worthwhile these coffee houses licensing your professional service intellectual property package, if you will, or IP. And under that model, you would be going to coffee houses all around the country, licensing them your business model, as opposed to licensing out the whole coffee house business model, which is inclusive of building out or operating the retail establishment. That would fall under a franchise model.
Brent, how do I use a celebrity image or celebrity name on my product and pay them a licensing fee for that? How does that work?
Celebrity likenesses is a form of intellectual property. And many celebrities, both living and deceased, have agencies that represent them for that very purpose, the use of their image, their likeness, including their name, on a product or service. So if that's the case, what you really need to do is find who that celebrity is that you are interested in licensing. Then you're going to just have to do a little homework to track down whom you contact to find out whether or not you can license that celebrity image. Sometimes, as I said, they have licensing agents that represent it. Other time, it's their business manager or talent agent that would represent them.
Rand, I have legal ownership of a trademark that I think a bigger name company could leverage, but which has zero public recognition. How can I best license my trademark to them for a profit? Is licensing it to them a good prelude to selling them the trademark?
Well, again, this is a good question. The real key to any trademark is the value that that trademark represents to the public. Public recognition is key, the awareness. It's called the goodwill factor, is how much do people know what that brand means or what that trademark represents. Trademark and brand I'm using here interchangeably, because a brand is a trademark. And if you have a trademark that really has zero recognition, public recognition at this point, there isn't going to be much inherent value inside that. So licensing it is going to be challenging, difficult at best. What you really need to do is to build some value around that trademark through developing awareness of it. Now, that can take a long time, so depending on what product category or what types of products or services that trademark is going to represent, it's going to dictate what you need to do. Now, I talk about this in both Intro to Licensing and Licensing Mastery, what the steps are you go through to creating value for your intellectual property. So in this case, there are a number of activities and things that can be done behind that trademark to build value in the marketplace. And really what you have to do is get it to that point where it does have that recognition enough to where it would be of interest to a larger organization to license that trademark or brand.
My family and I created our own playing card game. We printed up our own design and laminated the cards. Everyone who plays absolutely loves it. How would I license this product to a major company like Mattel? They're the ones who do the game Uno.
It's a good question because the toy companies are always looking for inventors. People will be surprised, but a lot of these toy companies work quite often with toy inventors. But if you've created a new game and you've created a prototype for that game, the most important thing is to make sure that it's something that people get, that they can play, that you've got some testimonials. Interestingly enough, in the situation of a game, you don't necessarily have to have it out on the market, okay, selling it. But what I would highly encourage you to do is to make some prototypes of that game and share it and get some testimonials and make sure people understand how it plays. The other thing is that you're going to have to make sure that you can really wrap it pretty tight in a copyright or a trademark. And then the other thing that you must understand is that anytime you go to present to some of these larger companies, you're going to have to understand that you're going to operate probably under their non-disclosure agreement, and there's no guarantee that they will take the game or that they won't come out with some derivative of the game. Okay, that's always a challenge. I'm always a big believer in taking a look at the company and saying, you know, is this something that's best suited to a large toy company, or would I be better off looking at some of these second or third tier companies? Because there's many other companies out there besides the largest companies that you would be better served in approaching for licensing your game. Again, I talk about the steps to licensing out your inventions in the Introduction to Licensing and Licensing Mastery program. So if you're looking for more details on how to do that, I highly encourage you to order those products.
I'm in negotiations with a company to license my product. They supplied the agreement, but there's nothing in there about a royalty advance. I don't think it's an oversight. They didn't want to pay a lawyer to draft up a fancy agreement. I have a lawyer, and he's going to ask for a signing fee and an advance on royalties. I don't want to blow this deal. What do I do?
This is all part of the negotiation process. So to receive a licensing agreement in which there is no advance on royalties is not uncommon. Yes, the licensing deals can be done where there's a guarantee and then an advance payment on the guarantee, but I've also worked many, many deals where there is no advance payment. There is only a guarantee, and there's even some deals where there isn't even a guarantee. There's only a sales performance commitment that says, you know, we will commit to selling X number of units within a certain period of time, which is a form of a guarantee, but oftentimes it's operated more as a performance clause. So in negotiating these deals, feel free to respond back by asking for an advance against the guarantee. It doesn't necessarily mean that they will agree to it, but again, you're negotiating and it's not a question of blowing the deal. And the other thing to keep in mind is you have to make sure that this is the right kind of deal. A bad deal is worse than no deal at all. There's always going to be another licensing deal out there. So you have to be sure that you're putting together the right kind of licensing agreement. And the second thing to keep in mind, too, is you have to be realistic about it. Just because you want an advance doesn't necessarily mean you will get an advance. Oftentimes, depending on what stage your product is in, where it is, what kind of resources you're putting behind it, oftentimes it makes better sense from a strategy standpoint to license without an advance and allow the licensee to go out and get the product commercialized and into the market. Because ultimately, if it's going to be successful, and it's going to be significantly successful, the advance isn't really going to mean anything. It's really how successful it will be from a sales standpoint. If it is successful, then you're going to get paid on the royalties anyway. So financially, it will work out just the same.
Rand, how can I get protection for an anti-aging herbal remedy?
Well, this is a good question. An anti-aging herbal energy is a formulation, and most formulations are not patented. And the reason they're not patented is because it would disclose the formulation, what goes into the formula, publicly. And formulations are a good example of trade secret licensing or know-how licensing, okay? And the rights are not secured or protected under a patent, as I'd said, but what happens is this formulation is licensed to a company who is then going to use the formulation to produce and sell the products. And that is handled under trade secret licensing agreements, which are similar to know-how agreements, just trade secrets are structured just a bit differently. Now, on formulation, sometimes the licensing is done in which there's two formulators who create two parts of it, and then it's sent to the licensee for mixing and delivery. Other times the licensee is given full rights to the formulation. It all depends on how you want to structure the agreement and what's the best way to structure that. And that is something that you would have to handle directly in the negotiations with the potential licensee for the formulation.
Does Coca-Cola fall under that?
Yeah, that's a good example. Beverages, perfume companies, pharmaceuticals, nutraceuticals, anything like that where there's a formulation, recipes, sauces, generally, you're not going to find those patented. They're all going to be licensed under know-how and trade secret license agreements.
Rand, what is the best way to approach a state CPA association about licensing a book for small businesses on marketing and advertising?
Just approach them. If you're looking to use that organization as an endorsement or you want to license their name as part of it, it's basically just a question of approaching them and making a presentation. Again, when you're looking to license them, one of the things that I talk about in both Intro to Licensing and Licensing Mastery is how you go about approaching them. But it's really a question of preparing your licensing proposal, contacting the organization, finding out who you need to speak to or who you need to make the presentation to or who you need to send the initial presentation to. Generally, they'll want to have an initial proposal sent to them. And there's two steps to that. The first is the initial proposal, which talks about what the concept is and what you're looking to license. And then based on that organization being interested in it and seeing that that's something that falls within something that they would consider licensing, then the second step is, of course, to make a proposal with specific terms in it as far as, you know, what you want to license, territories, how much you're willing to pay, things like that. That goes into the deal memo. Again, in both Intro to Licensing and Licensing Mastery, I have examples of the type of term sheets that you would use in making, in submitting an offer for those type of licensing situations.
Rand, I have an idea for an invention. I have a prototype made. The product works very well. I want to patent it, but don't want to manufacture or market it. I'm not sure who to trust or what is the best way to sell my idea without giving it away.
Well, again, if you have something that is patentable, keep in mind what a patent does is it freezes in time a certain configuration of whatever you have created, whatever your invention is. The second part to that is once you patent it, you've got to make sure that it's marketable and it works. You've got to be able to demonstrate it, prototype it.
He's got no patent on it, though.
Okay, if you have no patent on it, it's very difficult to license it, unless it's a product design that's very unique and something that somebody would be interested in licensing. Now, I will tell you this, there are ways of licensing product designs that are not patented, okay, and that comes under product design work, but it's not something that's particularly common, but it's something that you can do. But you really need to be experienced in doing it. Also, too, your design has to be something that's really exquisite, innovative, something that's really not out there to be of interest. But one of the challenges you have anytime you have something that's not patented, but it's more of a product design and you're not specifically employed or retained to be a product designer, anytime that you present these designs or concepts, the best you can do is ask for a non-disclosure, but there's no guarantee that some derivative or something fairly similar to it wouldn't appear on the market after showing it to a particular company and not hearing from them for 6 months or longer.
How about a provisional patent? Aren't those pretty inexpensive?
So that's a good question, Michael. And provisional patents are known as the poor man's patent. What it basically does is you can submit a provisional patent. They're very inexpensive. I think they run about 100 or maybe a little more. And basically all you're doing is submitting a document that's never opened up. It's just stamped. And basically what it does is it reserves your place in line for a year. So it gives you up to a year to go out and decide what you want to do with that innovation, that technology, whatever it is. And if you elect at that point within a year to file the patent, then your patent protection is retroactive back to that year. Now, there's many companies that use provisional patents, and that's as far as they'll take the patent because they're looking to license out the technology, the product, the service to their licensee. And once it's licensed, they allow them to run with it and either take over the payment or the processing of that patent. Or the other thing to keep in mind is the particular technology or product may have a very limited lifespan in the market anyway. And a lot of times inventors and companies will use provisional patents just as a way to hold their place in line, but they know once it gets to market, it's got a very limited lifespan because there are going to be a lot of competition or knockoffs that are going to appear anyway. which a full patent wouldn't stop. So something to consider as an alternative is a provisional patent, and that's a way to buy yourself a year and also could give you some additional leverage as you go out to present this intellectual property for license.
All right, another patent-related question. Rand, having recently filed my patent, is it necessary that I have my prospective licensee sign a non-disclosure agreement?
I always recommend having your prospective licensee sign a non-disclosure, an NDA. Regardless of whether you have a patent filed, an NDA is just added insurance. Now, keep in mind, not everyone is going to sign an NDA. And this is something that I address in Licensing Mastery, is what happens when a company won't sign an NDA, because it is a situation that you're going to have. So you should be familiar. In many cases, they may have an NDA that they want you to sign. And in some cases, it may be a situation where they don't want to sign an NDA. And what everybody needs to realize is, you know, it's important to use an NDA, but understand a patent does not necessarily stop infringement upon your intellectual property. It identifies you as having rights, but it doesn't necessarily stop infringement. The best recommendation I can make is to get your legal, you know, the patents and the copyrights and trademarks filed. Use NDAs whenever you can and be very diligent about your correspondent and what you send out to whom, because that's your best protection ultimately in the event that you do have infringement, is that you're able to concisely document everyone that you have presented your intellectual property to.
Rand, I've created the best short pocket billiard in Karam Billiard Sports ever. Perfect for TV. I think I need an agent or negotiator or someone such as that to navigate the next steps, unless I could do it via a website. How would I find such an agent or negotiator for it's easy to steal? I have videos, one of the first world championships.
And it's a good idea, by the way, if you've got a product or a concept for a show, definitely seek out an agent or somebody to represent you for presenting it to third parties, especially television shows. That, you're just going to have to do some research. I would suggest speaking with some entertainment-based law firms or CPA firms. They're always working with a variety of different agents in capacities that you're looking for, and they would probably be a good first resource for you in getting a referral.
Chicago wants to be the nation's greenest city. How would you recommend working towards that goal by putting together technology licensing deals? Seems like a worthy niche to go after.
Certainly, green technology is high priority. Cities are very involved with that. Working with the city is a lot of funding that is available through the government toward these green initiatives. I would say that one of the biggest opportunities out there is learning what some of these initiatives are that the city is working on, because this is where you get into the government grants and the government contracting. There's a lot of money out there that's seeking technologies and entrepreneurs to fulfill the delivery, whether it's solar panels, green trees, green buildings, whatever the heck it is. I would suggest that you could go and find out what the city is seeking in forms of technology and then go out and research companies that have these technologies, and you can either work as a broker to introduce them into the city deal, or perhaps you could even look at licensing it yourself and then turning around and getting sub-licensing rights and then, you know, licensing the deal perhaps to the city or a third party who will be able to use that technology and qualify for that contract.
Rand, how does licensing work for digital goods? What if I have an idea for an iPhone app or figure out a way to make an existing product better, for instance? I have an idea for a functional widget that would help PayPal increase its market share. What are the next steps?
Well, as with anything, you've got a technology add-on. I think what you need to do is, if there's some element that can be secured under copyright or patent, I would certainly do that. And then beyond that, what you really need to do is to properly prepare, as I said previously before, documentation, either in the form of NDAs, non-disclosures, non-competes, and make sure that you document correctly all information you send out. And then from there, it's just a question of making a presentation. Again, you know, if you only have an idea, there's only so much that you can expect from the standpoint of trying to protect that. If you can take it into an actual intellectual property in the form of a patent or copyright, you're going to be in a much stronger position.
Rand, I work with music artists who have a grander ambition for their music, like creating musicals, feature films to music, etc., or even animation series set to music. And it always seems that to get anywhere, you need to basically give up the entire farm up front to even get someplace. Rand, what is your best strategy for being a little guy with a great idea and who's gotten off of his butt and done at least something about it to show it's interesting, at least, to hold on to those valuable rights up front when a bigger player comes sniffing around you and your cool project?
Well, that's a good question, and it's something that comes up often, and I consult with folks from time to time on this. You know, what it comes down to is how developed is your project and what position are you in to develop it? I mean, if you've got music and you're looking to take it into an animation series and you're expecting a studio or a TV network to produce it, to spend the money in the production of the animation and distribute it, they're going to want and expect a very large share of the back end. And, you know, when it comes down to trying to control those rights, you know, everything has a basis in financing. And so if you're looking to be able to control as much rights as possible when you're developing ancillary revenue opportunities, let's say off music, such as animation, the question is, what are you prepared to invest in and develop versus finding these third parties? Or you could raise capital through investors. I mean, again, all of it depends on who is going to put up the money to take the greatest risk. At the end of the day, you may have some exciting music, and you may have a great idea for an animation series, but if you're not putting up the money to develop it, then expecting that you're going to be able to hold on a lion's share of the merchandise or other back-end rights is just not realistic. You're going to have to give up probably a good share of that if your deal is that some third party is going to take the production and distribution risk.
Hi, Rand. I represent a company and am a shareholder which owns the patent on a pollution cleaning solution containing a high content of humic acids, which has been proven to allow the remediation of just about any property. I would very much like to talk to you about licensing this technology. How could we get in touch with you?
The easiest way to get in touch with me is on this page. There's going to be an email address that you're going to be able to click on, and you'll be able to get a hold of me. Michael will send me the request of the information. If you are interested in talking to me direct, working with me direct, just go ahead, click on this email address. Michael will forward me the information, and then we'll get in touch with each other directly.
Rand, do you handle syndication for clients or just licensing? A friend of mine has a talk radio show that he'd like to syndicate, and I want to refer him to you if you could help him.
The answer is I can help. Now, I don't do syndication work directly, but I do have a number of associates in the entertainment industry who do syndication. So if you do have an opportunity there and you would like for me to refer them to an associate that I know that can handle that, again, contact me via the email address and Michael will send me your information and we will speak directly and get that contact in motion for you.